In Zambia, it would be about 7 o'clock now, I think. Now, I know Hudson said that we're going to leave the definition for evangelism until last week, but just to give you sort of a hint towards it, I hope we're beginning to realise that by evangelism, we don't mean Billy Graham. So this is not saying we expect every single Christian to get someone who's not a Christian, explain the gospel entirely to them, and get them to sort of pray some prayer and be a Christian for the rest of their lives. We're talking about opportunities to share something of the gospel with people. But that's hard, isn't it? We're not pretending that it isn't. It is hard. Often when, as a pastor, when I talk to people about the subject of sharing their faith, a lot of people say it's really hard. And one of the most common reasons they give to me is, I just don't get many opportunities. People are not interested. I just don't get any opportunities. And I think to myself, wouldn't it be really good if there was a passage in the Bible that addressed precisely that issue? And there is. So if you want to grab a Bible on your tables, very quickly, so I think it'll take about 10 minutes. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. If you're following in the church Bibles, it's found on page 1184. So important. Along them, inside the motives and the methods, we also finish with this bit tonight. Colossians chapter 4, page 1184 in the church Bibles, verses 2 to 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So what's the secret? If that's your problem, Paul says, just do two very simple things. Two things. Number one, pray for open doors, pray for opportunities. Number two, season your conversation. So number one, pray for open doors. Verses 2 and 3, Paul writes to these Christians in Colossae and he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains." So we've got the great apostle, almost certainly at this time he was in chains, we read. He's locked up in prison. He is locked up in prison because he goes around telling people about Jesus. And yet the great apostle, locked up, still asks for these people to pray for him that he might have opportunities. Now just think about that. I know sometimes you may feel that you are chained to your desk or chained to the sink or chained to the kids, but actually Paul was literally in chains and he still prayed for opportunities to tell other people about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? No one is pretending this stuff is easy, not least Paul, but he did believe, even in situations like that where he was literally locked to a guard, that God could provide him opportunities to tell others about Jesus. But notice there's nothing formulaic or mechanical about this. Paul did not say, if you pray at church on a Sunday, I guarantee that there will be 10 gospel conversations during the week. There was no mechanical. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. So this is an attitude. This is something we're doing all the time. And if you think about it, of course, it's a virtuous cycle, isn't it? Precisely, if you're doing what Paul says, you're praying, you're watching, and you'll be thankful. The more you're praying for opportunities, the more you're looking for them, and the more you're likely to spot them when they come along, and therefore the more thankful you are for these opportunities, the more likely you are to pray about them, and so it starts all over again. It's an attitude, isn't it? You've probably heard the joke about the rabbi who used to pray every Saturday at the synagogue, "Oh great Lord, may I win the lottery tonight?" And each week he prayed it more fervently, and each week he asked more insistently until finally a loud booming voice came from heaven, "Oy vey, Jacob, help me out here, at least buy a ticket." So here's a very concrete suggestion for all of you. think about this for next week. Why don't you, I can encourage you, you've got your little bits of paper, why don't you write down three names of people that you're going to pray this week for an opportunity to talk about Jesus. I don't mean necessarily an opportunity to explain the whole gospel. I just mean any talk about anything that is sort of leading to discuss spiritual things. Why don't you specifically pray for that? And we'll check up on this next week. Paul guarantees there will be a massive change. Satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. And the next thing to notice is exactly what the open door is that Paul wants them to pray for. He prays for an open door so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. So that tells us the content that we're, when we have opportunities, we're wanting to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now by mystery, Paul does not mean what we mean. This is not mysterious. When he uses the word mystery, he means something that was hidden and is now revealed. You know, like those magic eye pictures. I'm terrible. I think maybe because my two eyes are not the same strength. It never works for me. But you've seen those magic eye vision pictures and they're just a whole lot of blur. And the Old Testament was like that. But when you see the picture, you cannot not see the picture. And Jesus was a mystery like that. He was hidden in a sense in the Old Testament. But now he's been made known. And once you see him, you can't help but see him. It seems obvious. But the fact that it is a mystery that needs to be revealed again leads us to prayer, doesn't it? The content of our message is a mystery. So of course, even more that means we should pray. If actually no one is going to understand the gospel unless it's revealed to them, again, this is incentive to prayer. So this is the first thing tonight, and I think the main thing to take away, if you're... Oh wow, I thought it was my phone, no, it's Hudson's. Wow, what an answer. See, pray for opportunities, you get opportunities. And he's turned it off, he's lost the opportunity, oh well. Okay, this is the main thing. If you're worried about evangelism, if you want to, ask, that's the main thing. Pray, number one, pray for opportunities. We can't say we're not getting opportunities if we're not praying for opportunities, number one. Number two, season your conversation, verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. But how do we season our conversation? Well, according to verses 4 and 5, we do it with clarity and wisdom. And verse 6 tells us to do it with grace and salt. So first of all, we explain it clearly. Our job is to be clear. We're not all great theologians. So if someone asks you a hard question about the gospel, we're not expected to be able to answer them in great detail, but we are expected to be clear. I'm often challenged by that. Sometimes I get asked really hard questions, and I really want to give a really hard answer, a very complex answer that makes it as complicated as possible. And sometimes that's necessary, because some questions are complex, and they need complex answers. But occasionally I'm asking myself, am I just bottling it? Actually, yeah, there are complex stuff, but shouldn't I just be honest, just be clear? Because that's what we need to do. And wisdom is called for here. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. That expression is literally, buy up the time. In other words, Paul is injecting an urgency here. We started at the beginning about our motivation, singing about the Lord's return. There is an urgency here. Paul is saying, be wise in the way you answer people. Make the most of it. Make the most of it. Explain it as clearly as I can. But wisdom also means being able to read the situation too. I'm going to answer wisely, which is why I need to season my conversation with salt. That's what it says in verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I think it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of how we almost imagine your relationships with people like some kind of great casserole of grace that you're trying to offer to them, and you want to season it with salt. And it's not that you sort of have to add the salt, it's that everything is covered with the salt, but it's only seasoned with it. The whole message is all about grace, it's a free gift, but it is seasoned with salt. Our conversation must not be bland, it's got that sort of edge to it. Salt is a preservative and it adds flavour. So therefore our conversations must have both these things in order to stand out. We are communicating grace to those we love, we want to share that to them, but it's got salt in it. It's just got a little bit of bite, something to catch their attention, to realise that there is an issue here. No salt and it's tasteless. All salt and it tastes disgusting. See, sadly, in my experience, the two most common reasons why people are not Christians are, number one, they've never met a Christian, and number two, they have met a Christian. See, they have never met a Christian, there's been no salt to kind of whet their appetite. Or they have met a Christian, it's been all salt, tastes disgusting. Or to put that image positively, Howard Hendricks, he's dead now, he used to be a Baptist minister in America, he used to give talks on evangelism training all the time, and one time in Texas, he said, look, you cannot lead a horse to water. And a Texan came up to him afterwards and said, you got that completely wrong, you don't know anything about horses. In your sermon you said something stupid. You said you can lead a horse to water but you can't make him drink. And that ain't true. Because you can make a horse drink if you feed him water. Salt. Sorry, oops. Totally destroyed the punchline there. So you can cause a horse to drink water if you feed him salt. And in our daily conversations with our friends and neighbours, we can lead horses to water if our conversation is seasoned with salt. So that's what we need to pray for. How do we make the most of every opportunity? We persevere in prayer. We pray. We've got our list of three names maybe. We pray for open doors. But then we season our conversation with clarity and wisdom, with grace and salt. Okay, I'm going to pray in a minute. We're going to finish. But what I'm going to just now, we won't pass the mic round. Has anybody got any questions either on what Hudson's done or